It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. Before we get started, big thank you to our sponsor in Java House. Java House has three locations in Indy with plenty of coffee and breakfast food open every day of the week, most of the day. Really nice locations in Broad Ripple, in Carmel, and the newest location downtown. Best cold brew there is on the planet. But if you're like Frenchie and you don't like coffee, they also have some tea and whatnot that is very good as well, so shout out to them. If you're not in the Indy area and you want some cold brew, and thank you to everybody who support this. The support so far has been overwhelmingly awesome, and Java House actually shot me an email this morning to say, you know, we are super happy with how things are going so far, so thank you to everybody. Go to javahouse.com, use promo code PITLANE10 for 10% off all of your orders. Keep coming back. Keep using that discount code. But let's dive into it. We've got a few trivia questions. Cody's been sleeping, and I don't know. It's not like he's got like a newborn at home or something, so maybe he just forgot. But we'll do some 1996 Formula One trivia. Why was the Spanish Grand Prix memorable for Michael Schumacher?
Oh, that would be the first race that he won with Ferrari.
Wet weather drive, regarded as one of his best drives ever. Which team failed to survive the financial ruin in the middle of the season?
In the middle of the season? Which team didn't survive in 1996?
Forty. What engine did they run? Let's see if I can stump you on that one.
At that time, it was a Ford, right?
Yep.
Because I just listened to like a Pedro Diniz podcast the other day, and I think he was one of their drivers, right? Or was he with Ligier?
I can't tell you that on this quiz, but it's certainly possible. Let's see here. I'm looking for one more. Whose engine failed with three laps to go, allowing Damon Hill to take victory in Germany?
That sounds like a Gerhard Berger or Jean Alesi thing.
Yeah, it's Gerhard Berger.
But okay, yeah.
And let's do one more on here. Okay, let's do two more here. One of these is probably super easy. Which front running driver amazingly went off in the warm up lap in France?
Went off on the warm up lap in France. I remember David Coulthard going off multiple times, but I don't think it was him in '96, was it?
It was not.
Okay, so then
it was
Damon.
Not that either. Wow.
All right, I don't know this one.
It was Michael Schumacher. His engine blew up on the warm-up lap. Last question. Over 16 races in 1996, who had the most fastest laps?
Oh. I got to think about who was racing.
I know. That's the hardest part.
Was it Jacques Villeneuve?
Can you guess how many?
Okay. Oh, no way, but yeah. I can try. like
six.
Five.
You were close.
Okay, that's pretty good because he had four wins and that was his first season in F1.
Yeah, nicely done. All right, so we're done that. This episode will probably be pretty short this week. That's why I threw in a couple trivia questions to occupy some time. But it is the F1 summer break. There is no race this weekend. There is no race last weekend. So there's just a little bit of news. I'm going to turn it over to Frenchie to run F1 news.
So let me ask you first, do you want to start with the big news or just get the little stuff out of the way?
Surprise me, I don't care.
All right, we're going to start with the small stuff and get to the big announcement. The first announcement, or I guess sort of news conversation topic, is that apparently the MGM Resort and Hotel is planning to buy $20 to $25 million worth of Las Vegas F1 tickets so that it can create hotel and event packages for next year's race. And the CEO, whose name is Bill Hornbuckle, it sounds like some kind of, I don't know, Bugs Bunny character.
It does.
But he said that the rooms may cost up to three times their usual rate, which I imagine they're not cheap to begin with, and that packages could retail for up to $100,000. So it sounds like my dream of going to the Vegas race may be crushed before it even got off the ground.
Yeah, if the FIA is listening, can you please go into our FIA accreditation approval that's been sitting there for like 2.5 years now and just approve it. I think we've done enough to show that we're like credible in F1, right?
Can we apply again?
Probably. Or like, maybe after I get back from Gateway, I'll look at doing that again. Because yeah,
they probably lost it at this point.
Yeah, probably.
Michael Massey left. Mohammed Ben Sulayem took over. Like they had a leadership change. It didn't follow
yeah,
them.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, it's really tough to see F1 being successful for, like, you know, let's just say 10 years in the U.S. with these kind of prices, because you're just limiting, you're eliminating most of the Drive to Survive crowd. You know, you are catering to a very elite audience. And if you're successful, that, I mean, shit, good for you. But, you know, for most fans, you are making it unattainable. And that's just such a bummer. I mean, I'm not going to lambaste them. They're a business. They're trying to make money. You know, it's hard to fault from that standpoint, but it's a bummer.
I think they're going to end up getting like the celebrity crowd from Southern California will all be there for this race. And I mean, that's going to be a big spectacle. They're going to get all the Instagram coverage, the TV coverage. But like you said, if you keep out the regular fans, I mean, maybe you make your money still, but you're kind of, I don't know. They're going to lose interest. It's going to wane a little bit if they can't ever get to a race, especially because there's three of them in the U.S. or there will be. And if they can't even go to one of them, it's going to kind of, I think it's a little bit like puts you off. At least it would put me off.
Yeah, it's honestly, this might be a terrible parallel, but before I get there, yeah, eventually at some point, Drive to Survive, like, you know, people will either be less interested or you pretty much know what's coming for the most part every year with, you know, obviously silly season changes and whatnot, things that might spice it up here and there. But so the casual fan who is a pure Drive to Survive fan, who's like, oh, I got to get to Texas, say, okay, it's $350. That's fine. You know, if that race goes away or if it gets more expensive now that F1 has gone totally greedy, power, money hungry, then yeah, you might start losing interest in looking at other motorsport or other sports. It's kind of like how I feel about going to NFL games. It's like, sports. I like all sports for the most part. But I haven't been to an NFL game since the Eagles-Titans in 2016 or 2017. It was definitely like 2015 or 2016. It was a while ago because nosebleed seats in Philly were $130, $140 a ticket plus $50 to park. or $40 a park. Like, parking at a football game is like triple what it costs to park at the same complex for a Flyers game or a Sixers game or a Phillies game. And then food and beer and whatever. It just got to be like, you know, I'd rather sit on my couch, order some wings or a pizza, spend $15 on that, and not have to deal with drunk Eagles fans fighting each other. So, and yes, go ahead, throw your, they throw snowballs at Santa Claus too, comment while you're there. But sorry, that was specifically targeting Cody.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I went to a baseball game last night, and I didn't pay for the tickets because it was nice that my girlfriend's work gave them to us. But I'm pretty sure the tickets were around $30 or so, and they came with a $15 credit for food.
The Flyers do something similar.
Like, you could use it at restaurants. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the type of thing. F1's never going to be that. I mean, IndyCar's not even that cheap. But that's the type of thing where you might get people who have no idea what it is just to show up because the cost is not going to break the bank, even if they hate it. So you're really keeping out what you're saying, the casual fan. Like, the person who's unsure about F1 is not going to spend thousands of dollars. It's going to be the diehards. And, you know, maybe you don't ever really transform these kind of casual fans into diehards because they never get to see a race live. We'll see. I don't think F1's suffering, and I don't think they will suffer even if they go forward with this. I think even without Bernie Ecclestone, the kind of evil dictator vibe given off by F1 continues a little bit.
Yeah, it's not necessarily evil dictator. It's more like money hungry, and we might be missing the more casual fan base. And I think every sport could do a better job at that. Like, this is not pile on F1. Like, almost every sport could do better at that. I'm sure IndyCar could do better at that.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I mean, we did just sort of pile a little bit on F1, but maybe that's because there hasn't been a race in a couple weeks, and
there's
it's just like,
talk about.
It's not, it's not fresh in my mind that how much it was awesome at the last race. Okay, the other small piece of news before we get to the big announcement, and we'll...
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
We'll cover that one in some detail. Is that Ralf Schumacher decided to comment on the Daniel Ricciardo situation, and he has a very firm belief that Ralf Schumacher will never get another chance in Formula One after this.
Wait, I think you meant to say Mick Schumacher. You said Ralf Schumacher like three times in there, and my brain hurt.
No, Ralf.
Can you start that over again? I just want to make sure I heard correctly.
So Ralf, my least favorite Schumacher, at least. And someone who I believe won 6 Grand Prix, which is actually less than Daniel Ricciardo has won.
Okay.
He commented on the Ricciardo situation and said he can't imagine that Ricciardo's ever going to get another chance in F1. Like, he doesn't see, if he loses his seat at McLaren, I guess he thinks that this season or his performance of late has been so bad that he doesn't deserve another chance anywhere else.
So, one, I mean, his performance hasn't been great. I also don't think it's been like Latifi level bad or anything. Two, why is it in F1 specifically? Like, we don't really see this in IndyCar don't really see it in NASCAR. Like, these old guys just come out of the woodworks and start spouting off the most ridiculous shit ever. Like, why is it? I don't know. I'm going to leave it there before I get myself in more trouble. But it's just, go away. Go.
That's a good point. We don't see, like, Gilles DeFerrin coming out and, like, crapping on people.
Rick Mears isn't going out there and being like, screw whoever. He sucks. No, Rick Mears is out there trying to help drivers get better.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, Kevin Kogan doesn't come out and crap on everyone. So, I mean, I guess he wouldn't really have the credibility, but I really don't think Ralf Schumacher has that much credibility to talk about this.
I mean, if anything, Ralf Schumacher should be a good uncle and, you know, mentor Mick about the ins and outs of F1 from his time in F1. Do something productive if you're going to run your mouth.
I mean, and the thing is, he may have been asked about this. And so that's the thing I hate about some of the news reports. Like, they quote it as if he just said this and spouted off. And someone may have asked him in a way that got him to say this. I mean, he's never been afraid to speak his mind. But, yeah, I don't think... I think Ricardo will easily get a second chance somewhere else. I mean, who else do they really want to bring in? Some of the other teams?
Yeah. God damn. Okay. Let's get to the big news. Oh, hold on.
All right,
before we get there,
is that...
let's give a quick shout out to our friends at Athletic Greens. athleticgreens.com/emerging. That was not a good segue. I was trying to think of something segue-y, but,
that was like
that is not. We need Hickey just to come in every once in a while for a segue. Anyway, athleticgreens.com/emerging. You get 5 free sample packs and a year worth of vitamin D, endorsed by athletes like Lewis Hamilton and I think LeBron James is the other big one. There are no artificial flavorings or chemicals or anything along those lines. Plenty of adaptogens. Improve your mood, improve your energy, improve your focus. You know, just make yourself overall healthy without having to spend tons of money on different vitamins and whatnot. Again, go to... actually, we have a new one. It is sitting in my email. athleticgreens.com/parlay, P-A-R-L-E-Y.
Oh, they customized it for us.
I'm confusing two ads. If you hear a BetterHelp ad, it's betterhelp.com/parlay. The Athletic Greens is athleticgreens.com/emerging. So now, like, we've...
oh, I got excited.
Yeah, no, BetterHelp did. And now we've merged two ads with one. And we're going to leave this in the episode because it's a lot more fun when I butcher these ads.
Okay. That's fine with me. So the big announcement is that the 2026 F1 rules, like the engine formula, has been approved. We know what we're going to see. At least we have an idea about it for 2026. And this paves the way for both Audi and Porsche to come in because this was the big sticking point. They wanted to get some of these rules passed to come in. And so let me just go through them quickly, a little bit broadly, and then we can react to them. So the first thing that we're going to see is fully sustainable fuels starting in 2026, thanks to the F1 partnership with Aramco. They're not going to burn any fossil fuels anymore, so they're going to maybe use non-food sources or apparently municipal waste to fuel the cars, so we'll see. It'll be interesting. They're going to have 3 times the electrical power from the hybrid component of the engine to go along with that, the continuation of the 1.6 liter V6 turbo. So instead of about 120 kilowatts, which is, I believe, about 160 additional horsepower, we're going to see 350 kilowatts, which is like more than a Formula E car was doing at this point. Next season, I believe they're going to be doing about that, but that's like 649 horsepower. Or sorry, 469 horsepower. So we're going to get it's an additional almost 500 horsepower just from the electrical component.
Yeah, it's pretty cool the way they're structuring it. And if IndyCar isn't too far down their new engine path, which who knows, that maybe they're stealing some of that idea from the push to pass is totally electrical or hybrid for IndyCar. So I think it's a really cool and smart idea for the future of auto racing and making it a way to where you can adapt these sort of things to road cars in the future in some sort of way.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot more than people still realize in both F1 and IndyCar. So not to forget that. But yeah, I think it's better than I was expecting. I'll say that. I was expecting much worse. And with the MGUH going away, there are some thoughts that the engine will be louder. So,
and have turbo lag again, because what the MGUH did is it sat between the compressor and the turbine in the turbo, and basically it would harvest electrical energy from the turbine spinning, but the electricity could also be used to spin up the turbo, right? And so to avoid any turbo lag. So we may see turbo lag come back without the MGUH.
Okay.
That's just a possibility that I've seen written out there. So we're going to see like probably 1,000 horsepower, they're saying, easily. But we're going to see less fuel used in these races. So we're going to have the clean fuel, but then also a lot less of it. So in 2013, about 160 kilograms was used for a race. And then 2020, it's about 100 kilograms. And they're aiming for 70 kilograms during a Grand Prix starting in 2026.
Okay. That's cool.
They're going to continue to lower the costs through like engine-specific cost cap. And they're going to ban a lot of expensive manufacturing materials. And obviously, like, get rid of the MGUH, which is pretty expensive to develop. And then use some standardized components to just bring the cost
down. So my only concern from those standpoints, and this is, could be nothing. So if you're eliminating expensive components, cost-saving measure, I get it. I mean, F1 costs are still going to be outrageous. So, A, does it really make a difference? And B, if you're using cheaper engine parts, are we going to see more unreliability peak back up because, I don't know, some nut and bolt fails and then, you know, Carlos Sainz's rear end of the Ferrari spontaneously combusts again? So, I don't know. I mean, listen, this is why we're talking and we're not building F1 cars. So, only time will tell.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, it may be pretty, that may shake things up, be interesting. I definitely think 2026 is going to mark another huge transition for the sport, like these new 2022 car regs did. The last thing I wanted to mention is that new manufacturers coming in, specifically Audi and Porsche, we're looking at you, get a concession for the power unit cost cap. So it's set at, this is how much they can spend just on the power unit, okay? $95 million for the 23 through 25 seasons. And then it's $130 million from the start of the new engine rules in 2026. That's just the power unit. But the new manufacturers are allowed an extra $10 million on top of that for their first two seasons, and then an additional $5 million during the third. So this is hoping to get the new manufacturers up to speed.
We're talking about cost savings in one sentence, and then you get $100 million for your engine in the next sentence.
That just means they were spending.
Laughing at the absurdity of the order of not the order of, you know, whatever you're reading is talking about.
Oh, these are a few different sources I'm reading, but yeah, it should be pretty cool. I think that's the main points, I believe. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing it and getting official announcements from Porsche and Audi that they're
Porsche
coming
one
in.
Is supposed to be at Spa next weekend, I think.
That'd be cool.
So anyway,
well, then we'd have some news to kick off the return from summer break.
Anything else?
No, that's all I've got, unless I missed something.
I don't think so. Let's wrap it up. All right. Everybody, obviously, no F1. IndyCar is Saturday night on USA Network or Peacock. So
I think it's 7:30 green flag Eastern time.
I think it's 6:30 green flag.
I thought it was 6:30 in St.
I'll look
St.
it up
Louis.
When we get done recording this, because we're about to record IndyCar for everybody who's wondering. Okay. I have it saved on my phone. Anyway, everybody, have a lovely weekend of racing.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.